Wherever you are.
Gordon's at home. Some of the Smiths are under the weather, as I think a number of people are joining us today virtually. So welcome to them, as well as to those who are physically with us today. No doubt you have noticed our new chairs, new to us. And so today is a test. And we will have someone going around counting the number of people who are nodding off during my talk. If these chairs are too comfortable, you know what? We kept the receipt, so we can easily send them back. So just, I'm kidding. I appreciate all the hard work that Ashley and others put into looking for, shopping, and acquiring these chairs. May they be used of God to help us have an environment where people can all the more readily hear the voice of God and absorb what the Spirit is saying to them. The title of my message today, and I especially want whoever posts the title of the message online, I want to make sure and get the entire title in, and it is this: 2 Peter 3:11. So the reference is part of the title, okay? 2 Peter 3:11, sorting out 2022. 2 Peter 3:11, sorting out 2022. Now I know we're already at the 9th of January, and so for some of you, you set your 2022 goals a long time ago, and you're full blast ahead, and you're already tackling those goals, no doubt. Others of you maybe have yet to set goals and to think much about the coming year. But I think it's early enough in the calendar year that we can still view this as more or less the first of the year. For the last several years, have taken either an end of the year retreat, or actually this year it's going to end up being a beginning of the year retreat, because Joan and I had COVID at the end of 2021, and we were doing some traveling, so that changed our schedule around. So I'm still looking forward to eventually having my beginning of the year personal retreat, and I always appreciate the opportunity to get some time away and really focus on the Lord and what He might be saying for my life and as I look forward to the coming year. And so I hope the Lord uses, my plan is, my heart, my desire is, the Lord uses this message to help you as you think ahead to 2022, to help you sort it out. And most of you have been coming here for some time, and you know that I'm a word guy, and words mean things. And perhaps you have picked up on the fact that I keep using the word sort. And there's a reason for that, and the reason is found in 2 Peter 3:11. And I'm going to read the larger passage in 2 Peter 3, but for now I just want to read verse 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, Peter has been detailing what is coming in the future in terms of the destruction of the world as we know it in the heavens. And he says in verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Think about sorting things. I'm not particularly good at sorting things. I'm like the rest of you all. I'm good at certain things and other things I'm not good at all. And if you would walk into one of the bedrooms in our home, we've made into my office, and Joan said to me recently, where are you going to, you know, where are you going to be today with your computer? Are you going to be on the first floor or upstairs? And I said, I'll probably be on the first floor. My office is just too messy for me to go in there. So I have piles of things. And so I'm trying to be better at sorting things out. But when we organize things, or try, like I try to organize things, we sort them and say, well, this goes into this category. This is under this description, it goes here, this goes, and we sort things based on, you know, we categorize on how we define what it is or what it's used for. And P- Peter is posing the question to the believers, and I believe the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing to you and me today, as we think about what is coming in the future, and I make no claim to know when that's coming, and that's not the point. The point is that these things are coming. So in light of that reality, what kind of person ought you to be? What sort of person? How would you categorize? How would you define? Well, it's not this category, it's that category. It's, you know, you kind of make these delineations and these definitions. And as you sort out your 2022, what sort of person are you now? And what sort of person will you become? What sort of person does God want you to be? And so I'm going to take time today to sort of go through, it might feel like I'm jumping around a lot, and I don't necessarily expect you to turn to every passage to which I refer, but I want you to see that this idea that God is at work in me, He's changing me, He has an agenda for my life, He has an agenda for your life. And in 2022, will you buy into that agenda? Or will you say, no thanks, I'm doing my own thing, Lord, and I'm glad you're along for the ride, Lord, welcome, but I'm going to do my thing, I have my own goals, and nothing wrong with setting goals. But I want us to see this morning that a main theme of the New Testament has to do with God's people changing and becoming something that they aren't now. So that's where I'm going with the message this morning. When we think about our future, it's rather enjoyable for the Christian, at least, to contemplate, wow, what does my future hold? Eternity with God? I'm with my Savior who spoke the worlds into existence. He loves me. I'm going to be with Him forever. I'm forgiven. Wow, I have an inheritance waiting for me. I've talked a lot about that in this past year, and those things are so very important for us to be cognizant of, to keep in the forefront of our thinking. But in addition to that, it's important for us to see that those things are yet future. We own them now, they're ours, but we're not going to experience them until we are in the next life. Because this perishable, I don't know about you, I'm coughing, I'm hacking, I'm tired, I had COVID, and I'm over it, but I'm still, you know, we're in these bodies, we're this perishable. You know, we can get mad at the medicals. Why didn't they see this coming? Why don't they come up with a good vaccine? No, no, no. Okay, fine. Go ahead and complain all you want. The reality is we're in these human bodies. You know what? We're all going to die. So I was at a funeral, New Year's Eve day, with a guy with whom I was in scouts. He was a year younger than I. And I'm 67. He was 66, got COVID, and was on a ventilator 8 weeks and passed away. Now, he had some comorbidities and so on. I won't get into the details of it. But I was standing talking with his younger brother, and I was recalling, I said, Randy, I remember when your dad, because his dad worked for my dad. And again, we were in scouts together. Our dads were helpers in the troop. I said, how old was your dad when he passed away? Because I remember when my dad and I came to your dad's calling hours. He said, well, he was 60. Wow, 60? I thought, and your brother was 66 when he passed away. Now, when his dad passed away at age 60, again, he had some, you know, Randy said, yeah, he never ate very healthy and he didn't really take care of himself. And maybe, you know, if a person passes away in those conditions, people kind of shrug and go, well, you know, he got old and too bad he died. But we get all mad, you know, people die of COVID. And I'm not glad about that. It breaks my heart. But let's curtail our anger with the reality that, you know what, we're in these bodies. This perishable must put on the imperishable. This mortal must put on immortality. You cannot inherit your heavenly body without first succumbing in the body in which you now live. So, the coming glory is a wonderful thing, but the reality is you and I are living in this world in this day and time. And are you going to pass away in 2022? You know, you might. I might. I think we're all mature enough to accept the fact that might happen. But if it doesn't happen, God's will is for you and for me to make progress in our faith. And again, I'm just going to go through and sort of tick off various places in the New Testament that remind us of that. And my goal today is very simple. My goal, I want to urge you, and I like that word, and I believe, well, it's a biblical word. It's a strategic word. Paul said in Romans 12, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God. Surrender to what God has for you, to his will for your life. Present yourself, your body, your life, all that you are. So I'm here this morning to urge you. I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to try to command you. You're your own person. You're a free moral agent. You're going to do what you're going to do, what you want to do. But I'm here to urge you in a certain direction to embrace what God has for you in 2022. To say, Lord, I want to adopt your agenda for my life, whatever that is. And I could spend a long time detailing all that that agenda includes. And I don't have time to get into the minutiae of it, but I'll just mention a few things. The way that you and I deal with trials, I hope you don't expect 2022 to be without trials, without difficulties. Look, we're in a broken world. Stuff's going to happen. And so trials are going to come. But the New Testament prescribes the way that you and I are to think about trials. It's not uncommon for me to hear people say, to hear Christians say, oh, now what? I don't need this, you know, like God doesn't know what he's doing, and he let this difficulty come into my life, and this is the last thing I need. Well, what does the New Testament say about the way we are to think about trials, difficulties in our lives? Well, we're to greet them as friends. Friends, you say? Why friends? Because God uses them to refine you, to test your faith. And your faith, James says, produces endurance. And he says, allow endurance to have its perfect work, that you be made perfect. Not, that doesn't mean sinless. It means mature. That you be made mature, complete, lacking in nothing. I know something about you this morning, that you are lacking in some things. I'm lacking in some things. There's some ground to be gained in my life by the Holy Spirit in 2022. And I'm determined to the best of what I know, what it means to allow God to have his way. And I just want at the end of my talk for you just to say yes to God. Yes, Lord, I present myself to you. The entirety of me I present to you so that in 2022 I become what you want me to become. And then at the beginning of 2023, I'm going to urge you the same thing for the next year. But God gives seasons and times, doesn't he? And days and weeks and years. And we have calendars. And it's a way to define the chronology of our lives as it moves forward. And so we all have calendars that haven't been written in much yet. Well, maybe you have sat down and started to sort out your year. Well, what's the year going to hold? Well, like to take a vacation and like to go visit so-and-so, and this is going to be happening, and my parents are aging, so I need to start thinking more about taking care of them. You know, you just kind of plot out and you plan and you sort things out. Well, something very important for you to sort out is to contemplate, what sort of person does God want me to be in light of what he says, what Peter says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Peter says, is coming on this world. There are a number of ways to describe this idea of change and becoming what God wants me to become. In a secular way of looking at it, it's not uncommon to hear people in the world say, I want to reach my potential. Yeah, I'm going to make goals for 2022 because I don't want to fail to become all that I could become. I want to reach my potential. Another way to say it is simply, well, I want to accomplish some things this year. God wants to accomplish some things in you and me if we will cooperate with him. I want to achieve some goals. I'm all for having goals. I set goals. Some of them I'm good at, some of them I achieve, and some of them I don't achieve. Organizing my office, I have not achieved that goal yet, so maybe someone can help me. But I've had some goals the last several years in the area of scripture memory, and it's been the biggest blessing in my life. I realize things might be flipped around. You might say, well, Jack, I have a very organized office, but I don't memorize scripture very well. I understand that. Okay, I'll cut you some slack. That's fine. We all have our areas where we excel. But perhaps you have some goals. Perhaps you'd say, I want to develop this year. That's a good word. I want to develop. I want to grow as a person. So that concept of growing, that's biblical, isn't it, in the New Testament? I want to grow, okay? What might that look like? Well, hopefully it's not too much, you know, growing this way. If you're a little kid, it's okay to keep growing physically. Of course, we reach a point where, you know, you need to stop growing and you need to reach that process and lose a few pounds. But I want to grow spiritually. That's where I want to grow. I want to grow emotionally, and I want to grow intellectually. I want to grow spiritually. There's the idea in Scripture of growing in grace. I'm not quite to the end of 2 Peter 3 in my memorization. I do one verse a week. I think I've got two or three more weeks to go. The very last verse of 2 Peter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that you grow in grace in 2022. What does that look like? What does that mean, to grow in grace? Does that mean that somehow I have to figure a way to get to give me more grace? No, God already makes available to you and me all the grace we need for everything, including growing in all the ways he wants us to grow. So if you see a person who's not grown, or you look at your own life and you think, well, I haven't really grown, then I think we would say about that person, or we'd say about you, or maybe you'd say about yourself, I have not availed myself of all of the grace that God has made available to me. So perhaps in 2022, you'd say, I want to do better at tapping into the grace that God has made available to me to make progress in certain areas of my life. There's the word transformed. It's another biblical word. Don't be conformed, but be transformed, Paul said. I referenced that at the beginning of my talk. I urge you to present your body, to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That means change. It's the word metamorphosis. To be changed. God's will is for you and I to change. Perhaps you've heard the saying, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. It's great, isn't it? And it's true. And I don't want to in any way detract from that truth. God does love you exactly as you are. He rejoices over you with shouts of joy. Why? Because when he looks at you, he sees you through the blood of Christ. He sees Christ's own righteousness, and he whoops it up in heaven when he sees you. He's thrilled with you. He loves you. We shouldn't for one minute, though, take that to mean that he's content to just let me stay where I am. No, rather, because he loves me, he wants to continue his agenda for your life, which is what? For you and for me to become like him. It's fun for me to see my sons becoming like me in certain ways. And God, in a similar way perhaps, looks at you as his child, and his will is for you to grow up and become like him. Now, this idea of changing, yeah, God wants you and me to change. You know, it's interesting, Scripture speaks of this, to this idea of change. And like a lot of things, there's a balance. On one hand, Proverbs 24 says, do not associate with those who are given to change. Those who are given to, I mean, just whatever the new fad is, the new idea coming down the pike, boy, they jump on the new cool thing. They're right with it, cutting edge. And they're, wow, it seems like maybe they're to a point where don't you have any stabilizing anything in your life that's your values that don't change? So be careful. Don't associate with those given to change. But the other side of the coin is this, Psalm 55, which speaks of those with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. Wow. One of the things that characterize people who do not change, they don't fear God. So if you find yourself kind of stagnated spiritually, you might wonder, Lord, help me to grow in the fear of you. I was thinking about that verse this morning. It has really gotten my attention. A verse in Philippians, which says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Wow. Now, it doesn't say work for your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I want to challenge you this morning. May 2022 be for you a year in which you further work out your salvation. I need to grow in this fear and trembling idea. I can be kind of cavalier. Oh, you know, the Lord's helping me. Yeah, God's with me. He's my sidekick. He's by my side. And be careful. Who is at work in you? God, the eternal, omnipotent, holy God of the universe. He has a plan for you. He wants you to take another step. Oh, I'll take it when I get around to it. Oh, really? Don't you fear and tremble at the God who has saved you and wants you to own his plan for your life? I need more of that fear and trembling. Don't know about you, but I know I do. Okay, I want to mature. This concept of maturing, I referenced it earlier when I referred to James chapter 1. His will is that I have greater endurance in my life, that my faith, I be a person who's less quick to kind of let go of the Lord and start going to other things for my salvation, to hold on to him. I need more endurance. And James says, when endurance has its perfect result, I become mature, I become complete, and I no longer lack anything spiritually. Well, I'm not sure when that point's going to come in my life. I don't think I'm there yet, and I don't think you're there yet either. But I want to become more mature. How easy it is, especially those of us who've been around in the kingdom for some time, especially the more Bible verses you know, you can quote this or quote that, and you know, you become familiar with certain esoteric Christian phraseology, and you can throw out the different phrases, and well, that can be careful. That can make you feel perhaps like you're more mature than you really are. And God's will is that we get to a point where we are complete. Another way that the New Testament puts it is becoming more like God, becoming godly. What does it mean to live a godly life? Wow, we could spend a long time on that. God wants me to become like him in the way I relate to people, the way I think, the way I speak, whether it's how I conduct myself when I shop at Kroger or Aldi or wherever you shop, how I speak to my wife, how I think about things, what I say, what I do, everything in my life. His will is that more and more I become like him. Something that I've referenced a number of times here in the last couple months. Earlier in the book of 2 Peter, Peter talks about becoming a partaker of the divine nature. Actually, more and more taking on the nature of God himself. And Peter details, we won't get into it, but it's wonderful how he details some specific areas of growth to which you and me can give attention to become more like God. New Testament speaks of becoming more like Christ. Romans 8 says that you and I are predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. On December 31st, 2022, will you be closer to being conformed to the image of God's Son? I know you don't know what 2022 is going to bring, neither do I. But from where we stand, from this vantage point, I hope you can, I can say, Lord, we don't know all that 2022 is going to bring us, but we present ourselves to you. Have at us. Change us. We belong to you. We want your agenda. That's important to think about, isn't it? The reality that you're no longer your own. You know, people in the world, they just can't relate to that. Because human nature, from the beginning, human beings go away from God. They go their own. Now, they might acquiesce in terms of, okay, the theology, I believe there is a God, but in terms of the way I'm living my life, I'm doing my thing, and isn't that, who would criticize that? That's normal. Everybody lives for themselves, right? Not New Testament Christians. That they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died on their behalf and rose again. We are to not be like the world. This entire world is filled with billions and billions of people who are living for their own number one, and it ain't Jesus Christ. They're living for themselves, so we ought not to take our cues from them. So I want Christ to be formed in me. And you want Christ to be formed in you. Paul said, O Galatians, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Wow. Think of a sculptor, and he's got this wet clay and the wheel's spinning and he's working this. I don't know how potters do it, but somehow they get their hands wet and it's this wheel spinning and they're forming this, or a sculptor that's making a statue and he's chiseling away. And as time goes on, what's in his mind begins to actually take shape. Think of the Pietà or one of those world famous statues where, was it Michelangelo? Did he do that? I think so. So first it existed in his mind, but people who walked through his studio at first just saw a big hunk of rock and it wasn't much of anything. People look at you and go, yeah, you're not much of anything. Okay, give me time. God's not finished with me yet. And he's hammering away. He's chiseling away. And eventually that piece of rock starts to take form. And you go, oh, you know, I think I can see a man's face. Oh, yeah. That's Jesus holding Mary after he came down from the cross, you know. Now I see. And on 31st of December, 2022, will you more resemble what God now has in his mind for your life? Scripture speaks not only of the positive in terms of what a person is to become, but in terms of what they are to get away from, what they are to escape. Peter speaks of escaping the corruption that is in the world by lust. There is so much corruption, lust-driven corrupt. This world is saturated with lust-driven corruption. And I don't just mean physical corruption, like things getting old and rotting because Oh, you drive around, there are a lot of new, not a lot of new warehouses. I bet you if you went in that Amazon building down there, there'd be a lot of brand spanking new gadgets and things to buy and cool things. And we can look around and say, well, there are places where there's not much corruption. Peter's not talking about material corruption. I believe he's talking about moral corruption. So we're not to be conformed to this world. I mentioned Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Again, he's not saying work for your salvation. But as you launch into 2020, are you determined? Oh, I'm really determined to reach my goals. Okay. Are you determined to work out your salvation, whatever that means? And if you don't know what it means, are you determined to, oh, okay, I am going to figure that out. Because God is in me. He's in me. That's encouraging. That's very encouraging, isn't it? God's in you to help you. Listen to Philippians 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Isn't that great to know? Even, you know what? Sometimes when we're real honest, we'll say, you know what? I don't even want to cooperate with God. I'm not willing. But I'm willing to be made willing. God, I'm willing for you to work with my will and hammer at me and get me to the point where I throw up my hands and say, okay, God, now I'm willing for your will to be done in my life. Isn't that great to know that God is so patient that he'll work with us? That is good to know. But in addition to the fact that it's good to know that God is at work in me, is to think about the fear and trembling side. It is God Almighty who is saying to you, look, you don't own yourself anymore. You belong to me. I have a plan for you. Own my plan. Adopt my agenda for yourself. Hebrews speaks of running the race marked out for us. God has planned a certain course, a certain path. He has a certain agenda. On whose path will you run? Yours or his or the world's, someone else's? Psalm 23 says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. It's so great. Psalm 23, what a wonderful psalm. How the Lord cares for me. He's my shepherd. He provides for me. And then it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for his glory that he's leading me. Okay, with that introduction, where's the person who's counting the people who are, no, I'm kidding. I do want to actually read several passages that speak to this idea of us, the reality that certain things are coming in the future, that has an implication for the way I live my life today. I guess that's the way I want to say it. There are certain things that are coming in the future, and I'm not going to venture to even get into speculating when it's going to be. I don't even see that as the emphasis of the New Testament. The New Testament has more to do with, in light of the fact that these things will happen, what kind of life am I to live this afternoon when this meeting ends? How I talk to people out in that lobby? How I relate to people when I leave here, go to the store, go home? How I live my life? 2 Peter 3:3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Don't be surprised, don't let it get under your skin, that mockers will come, and know that what drives their mocking is that they are following their own lusts. They want to rationalize their lifestyle, and so they want to be convinced themselves, and they would love to convince you that the Bible's not really true, and the things that the Bible says are coming are really not coming, because if they were coming, then they'd have come by now, and it hasn't come. So what about that? When they maintain this, Peter says, it escapes their notice that the Word of God exists, the Word of God that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Genesis speaks of God when he, at creation, he separated the waters above from the waters beneath. Verse 6, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. So they're wrong. This idea, it's known as uniformitarianism, that the way we can calculate the age of the earth, the way we can calculate the age of the universe, is this assumption that things have always operated in this kind of uninterrupted continuum. Not true. There was a huge punctuation mark at one time when God sent the flood. And it wasn't only some rain. We got some rain this morning, didn't we? About a half an inch. It came down. I was up early. It came down for a long time. It was more than rain. The deeps broke up. Scientists who believe in the creation account believe that the inner parts of the earth opened up and this hot magnum exploded through the oceans and gas, just tremendous spouting of water up onto the land. It was cataclysm. That happened. He goes on, verse 7, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. A day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men is coming. God destroyed the world at one time, and it's going to happen again. It's going to happen a different way, but it'll happen again. Verse 8, but do not let this one fact escape your notice. The mockers, there's something that escapes their notice, but you believers, now don't you let this fact escape your notice, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. Interesting, isn't it? Some count, they judge God. I mean, think about that. They sit in judgment of God. Let me calculate. You know, God's kind of slow based on my calculations. The way I count it, he's slow. Wow, who made you the judge of God? But that's how they think of themselves. As some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, we tend to look at that verse. For the longest time, I looked at that verse and went, okay, God is delaying these things so that more people can come into the kingdom. And I believe that is true. But I don't believe that's the point Peter is making in this passage, because of what it says a few verses later that I'll refer to when I get there. So verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Have you ever been the victim of a thief? I was one time. It was President's Day in the mid-80s. And our church office was located in some retail office space. And so it was a holiday. So there were, my car, I think, was the only car in this big parking lot in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I came out to go home. The sun was going down. And I remember looking at the car and there was broken glass and someone had tried to jam something in the ignition to steal my car. Well, they didn't succeed in stealing my car. But one thing they also didn't do is they didn't call me up and say, hey, I'm a local thief, and I just want to let you know, I'll be coming by. I noticed your car is in the parking lot, and I would love to steal a 1978 Fairmont. So I'm going to come by and steal your car. No thief does that. Now, some of them get caught, I've noticed, on YouTube. I kind of like to watch these porch pirates get caught, you know, these cameras that catch them, you know. It's kind of fun. Anyway, the thief doesn't announce it ahead of time. And the day of the Lord is going to be like that, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar. I don't know about you, but I'm part pyromaniac, true confessions. I was a Boy Scout. We always had campfires. I love building campfires. How many of you are part pyro like me? Funny. One wife pointed to her husband and he raised his hand. No names, Paul and Janet. I don't know why this is. There's a physics answer to this. Have you ever thrown like a big cardboard box or something flammable, wooden maybe, a box on a fire, and it catches fire and it goes, I don't know why that happens, but it's cool. It's fun. The time is going to come. The heavens are going to pass. You talk about a roar. You've heard a roar in a fire before. You ain't never heard a roar like the roar that is coming to the heavens when they pass away. I have a video. I don't want time to run out without me showing this video. I just happened upon this. This happened on Friday. It was the demolition of a part of a football stadium. It's just kind of fun to watch, and it speaks a little bit about the future. So, Ethan, if you'll hit that. Was the west side of the football stadium at Oregon State in Corvallis, Oregon. And I've seen bigger versions of that when we lived in St. Louis. The arena where the St. Louis Blues hockey team had been playing was imploded in 1999. And I remember seeing that. That was even more grand. But those kinds of things are a drop in the bucket compared to what is coming to this world. It says the heavens will pass away with a roar. Elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. The earth and its works will be burned up. I know a guy whose dad helped construct the stadium lights of old Cleveland Stadium. And when he would relate that story, I could tell his chest would kind of puff out. My dad helped put those lights up. And I'm sure that when this guy, this gentleman has passed away now, I'm sure that when he took his kids or his grandkids to the ball games in Cleveland, he'd say, kids, grandson, you see those lights? I put those lights. Imagine the, and it would be a good kind of pride. I helped build this. And now it's been completely flat. There's nothing there today from where the old stadium used to be. So as much pride as we take in the things we build, the things we make, guess what? It's going to be destroyed someday. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort? Don't let the issue become, well, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? You know what? That's not the main thing. The main thing is, in light of the fact that it will happen, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's a hint, I believe, about the kind of people God wants us to be. How satisfied are you with the rampant unrighteousness that fills our world? Does it grieve you? It grieves the Holy Spirit. Or do you shrug and go, well, that's how things are. That's how people are. No big deal. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We long for the new heavens and the new earth. Why? Because there righteousness will dwell. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Since you're anticipating this, be diligent. Think about that phraseology. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. It's kind of oxymoronic. When you think of diligence, okay, I want to be diligent. I want to work hard at this. I want to be thorough and I want to sweat at it and do a good job and be diligent to be found by him in peace. What you and I are to be diligent at is to make sure that our lives are characterized by the peace of Christ and also by being spotless and blameless. I have some spots on my character. Some blame can be laid at my feet today, And I want to strive by the power of the Spirit to be diligent in light of what's coming and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. See, this is why I know that this verse has to talk about you and me getting our proverbial spiritual act together. Is it about God's just waiting, making more time for more people to come into the kingdom? Well, that is true. There's more time for people to kind of get on the ark, so to speak, before destruction comes. But I think what the Holy Spirit is saying is that regarding the patience of the Lord as salvation, it's salvation for me and you. Not the kind of salvation we're saved from our sins and we're going to heaven, but the kind of salvation that God is bringing about in your life. Do you know that if you're saved, you are being saved? Did you know that? If you're saved, yes, you're saved, but there's also a sense in which you are being saved. God is working in you. He's changing you. He's conforming you into what he would have you be. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Paul, at least in this passage, I'm just going to reference 1 Corinthians 7. Here's an example of where Paul wrote about the coming of the Lord and how people should live in light of what's coming. 1 Corinthians 7:29. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. Is there anything inherently wrong with all the stuff that's down the street in that Amazon warehouse? No, there's nothing inherently wrong with things. We're to use things for God's glory and our blessing and to bless other people. But we don't make full use of it. Why? Because this world is passing away. This world is passing away. The rest of verse 31. For the form of this world is passing away. And then lastly, I want to reference Luke chapter 12, where Jesus talks about the importance of being ready. Why is eschatology, that word, eschatos means last, eschatology, it's the study of last things. And for the longest time, ever since going back to Jesus' disciples, people have tried to figure out, okay, Lord, when are you coming back? And so many books have been written and so many debates and discussions. Well, I think it's this, and this is my theory. Well, you know what? I think if the Lord had wanted to be crystal clear, he would have. Obviously, it's not clear. There are so many different theories. It appears that the Holy Spirit is perhaps emphasizing something else having to do with eschatology, and that is that you and I be ready. Luke 12:35, Jesus said, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. If the master comes in 2022, will, put your own name in that blank space, will be on the alert? Will you be ready? We are looking for him, but there's also a sense in which he's going to come back looking for you. How will he find you? Will he find you spotless and blameless, having been diligent to be at peace? Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself to serve. Who's the he? It's the master who's coming back. He will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Jesus is going to gird himself, and he's going to say to you, oh, come sit right here. And you're probably going to feel like, oh, no, Lord, I should be serving you. He's going to say, no. No, that time for you serving me, guess what? It's over. I'm now going to serve you. and I'm going to wait on you. Wow, what a time that will be. Verse 38, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. It's as if Jesus is saying, you know what, whether it's the second watch or the third, who knows, who cares, in one sense. Verse 39, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. If I'd have known what hour the thief was coming to try to steal my 78 Fairmont, I'd have been looking out the window in my office and yelling at the guy, probably, or called the police. I don't know. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? What about us really committed? We're the disciples, Lord. We're the diehard, you know, followers. We're in it with you, Lord. Are you pointing this parable to us? Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Has he entrusted to you a responsibility to in any way care for other people, to reflect God's love for them, to minister to them, to serve them? I would say that's true for virtually. I can't think of a Christian about whom I would say that person is not, God has not made them responsible for anybody. We all have people for whom we're responsible to serve. He says, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, see, we don't say these things out loud, do we? Oh, I don't think the Lord's coming for a while. I'm just going to go ahead and do this thing. I probably shouldn't do it, but you know what? No, we would never say that, because that's not a spiritual thing. That's not a new song thing to say, is it? They're not saying that. We think it in our heart, don't we? If that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, to eat and drink and get drunk. See, if you don't think much about the Lord coming back, then the way you treat other people, doesn't really matter. No big deal. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That's what it says. I believe it says that because I believe that Jesus wants to cast a shadow of suspicion on the salvation of any person, any would-be Christian, would-be disciple who adopts this attitude of, my master's not coming for a long time, I don't give a rip. I'm going to treat people the way I want to treat them. Whoa, you're a Christian? You sure? You may end up getting assigned a place with the unbelievers. So, going back as I close here to my original point as I launched this talk, that my desire has been this morning that you enter 2022 with your hands extended to God, at least figuratively, saying, Lord, I belong to you. I present myself to you. I want your agenda for my life. I want your will to be done in me. I want you to change me, to grow me, to make me like your beloved Son. I know that's your plan for me. That's my desire. And of course, I can't make that decision for you. It's something that in your own heart, whereby you simply say yes to God. So let's pray. And this will just be your opportunity silently. I'm not going to have anybody raise their hand or do anything like that, but it's just in the quietness of your own heart, and God sees and hears you. And I just want to invite you simply to say yes to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, that you've not left us as orphans. You've sent your Spirit, who comforts us, who teaches us, and who helps us to change and grow. How I pray for myself, Lord, I'm far from having arrived, you know that. So I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters here that you'd help us to launch into 2022 with our hands open before you, our arms uplifted to you, surrendering to your agenda for our lives. Oh God, if these things come about, if this cataclysmic burning up of the earth and its works happens in 2022, may you find us closer than we are in this moment to the image of your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, I believe Ashley's got some announcements for us.